So Jesus answered, "Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring which will provide him with life-giving water and give him eternal life." Now he's on.
Well, it's good to look out and see probably as many visitors here as there are regulars. So welcome. And we have quite a lineup of four retired ministers and former missionaries as well. So lovely to be here to celebrate. And if I'd known there was going to be such an esteemed group, I would have attempted a more theologically challenging message, but I've tried to keep it all age friendly. So think of it as a children's talk that adults are very welcome to listen to as well. And hopefully there'll be something relevant and life-giving for us all as we reflect on the year that's about to close and consider the challenges and opportunities that God has ahead for the year ahead. So I was doing a little bit of reading recently about Christmas and just a little reflection now about the way some people think we should put more of Jesus into Christmas. That Christmas has got so commercialised and it's too much about money and there's a lot of distractions from the true meaning. And we hear people saying happy holidays rather than Merry Christmas. We see commercialism rampant everywhere, and we literally have an economy whose consumption requirements depend on buying and selling at this time of the year. And this is a little condensed version of a message by Reverend Friar Andrew Stephen Dammock. He's a Orthodox minister, but I think he makes some good points. We're told that the true meaning of Christmas, or the spirit of Christmas, is to be kind to other people, to bring families together and celebrate Christmas as families. And this guy says there's nothing wrong with giving or with kindness or with family time, and there's nothing wrong with doing these things in connection with Christmas, but these things aren't the real meaning of Christmas. And he goes on, our cultural problem is really a narrative problem, a story problem. We hear Christians saying, let's put Christ back into Christmas. If only we could put the baby, the Jesus baby, back into our nativity set somewhere, then we'd have a proper Christmas with all the right accessories. It's just not complete without a baby Jesus. But that misses what the story really is. Jesus is not part of the story of Christmas. Christmas is part of the story of Jesus. And our God and Saviour is born into human history. His entrance, not through a side door, not through a back door, not even through opened gates as though he were an invader, alien to us. He entered through birth. He entered the same way that all of us enter this world. And then with his birth, he becomes part of a human family, part of our human family, our human race. This is the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, and the Saviour of the world. Jesus is not part of the story of Christmas. Christmas is part of the story of Jesus. So have we considered that this is the story we are celebrating, that Christmas is one chapter in the story of Jesus? Jesus did not come here to enter as a character in someone else's story. He's come to reveal a completely different story, and it's his story. Indeed, all of history is finally revealed as his story. He is the main character, the true hero of history, whose coming reveals everything for what it truly is. The question for each of us to ask is not whether Jesus is part of our life story. The question is whether we are part of his life story. Because that's what's happening. That's the true story. That's where we are. Jesus is not part of the story of Christmas. Christmas is part of the story of Jesus. And we can be part of that story too. That's the invitation. Ongoing invitation. I really appreciated the Christmas service that Colleen and others led the other day on Wednesday. And just the time to reflect and the time to listen to some of the music. And there was a song that I don't recall hearing before called "Is There Room in Your Heart" by Casting Crowns. Now, Beth's a bit more of a fan of Casting Crowns than I am. Did they come to New Wine? They didn't come to New Wine, but anyway, I turn down the volume sometimes. But this one, "Is There Room in Your Heart." So we could just, I invite you just to spend a few moments listening as we reflect quietly at the end of this year to the question, is there room in your heart to join, the last word is there room in your heart for God to write his story? Thank you, Curtis.
Family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town, they did not know that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? Counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
Lovely band, everyone. Just to look them up on Spotify or something. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, how much room is in our hearts? How much room in our hearts is there for you? As 1 year comes to an end, the holiday break can give us time and perspective to refresh and evaluate where we have spent our time, what we may have neglected to do, what we wanted to do more of. Lord, you promise life in abundance, but we know this doesn't happen when you are a partial add-on to our own agendas, but when we are journeying side by side with you. Lord, our walk with you is supernatural, but also very natural. And we ask help to learn to walk in the rhythm with you and your priorities. Lord, we pray for those who are weary after a full and busy year, and that they may be refreshed over this holiday break. We pray for those who are lonely when the structure of work ceases for the holiday break, and where there may be difficult connections with family. We know this time of year can be greatly looked forward to by some, but very stressful for others. Those that may have overspent on credit cards, we know there's an increase in family violence at this time of year and alcohol misuse. Lord, for these families, be not only a light at the end of their tunnel, but be a guiding light in their dark places. Lord, today we stop and we take time to breathe, to listen, and to reflect on what you may have to say. Amen. Hannah's going to come in. Okay, so all of 55. I think they can still. I'm not meant to move this, am I?
That's better. Okay. The Lord says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come, you that have no money, buy corn and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, it will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, come to me. Come to me and you will have life. I will make a lasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised to David. I made him a leader and commander of nations, and through him I showed my power. Now you summon
foreign nations.
At one time they did not know you, but now they will come running to join you. I, the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, will make this happen. I will give you honor and glory. Turn to the Lord and pray to him. Now that he is near, let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. He is merciful and quick to forgive. My thoughts, says the Lord, are not like yours. My ways are different from yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high my ways and thoughts above yours. My word is like the snow and the rain that come down from the sky to water the earth. They make crops grow and provide seeds for sowing and food to eat. So also will be the word that I speak. It will not fail to do what I plan for it. It will do everything I send to do. You will leave Babylon with joy. You will be led out of the city in peace. The mountains, the hills will burst into singing. The trees will shout for joy.
Cypress
trees will grow where now there are no briars. Myrtle trees will come up in place of thorns. This will be a sign that will last forever, a reminder of what I, the Lord, have done.
And in case we didn't say, that was Isaiah 55. Okay.
This morning I want us to explore the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and I've got three photos that we're going to base this little exploration, this little encouragement around. So at the due time, I'll wink at Curtis and he will put on the first photo that we're wanting. And I'm just being encouraged to get this a bit further high. Is that all right? Yeah. Yeah. So, Jeremy, you can use words. The top part down a bit. Okay, very good. So there's three aspects of this of the Isaiah 55 that I want to explore, and I've got these subheadings: priorities, perspective, and promise. Three P's: priorities, perspective, and promise. So, and I'm happy to be interactive and for people to respond or interrupt or ask questions or answer any questions I might have. So I just wonder if anyone's got a story about a time when you remember being really thirsty. Reasonably thirsty now. We can. Would somebody like to go and get Neil a drink of water? So it's, we can do this. In fact, I like the idea of just bringing in beverages halfway through a sermon if it gets a bit boring. Anyway, I was quite thirsty actually on one Sunday afternoon in February last year. A friend from Christchurch was up and we went for a walk along the walkway, a blazing hot day, and I'd been at church in the morning, and normally I drink a lot of water. I have a water bottle and swig away, but on that, the circumstances around that day, that just didn't happen. And I'm told that as one gets older, one doesn't have the same sense of thirst or awareness of being thirsty that we did when we were younger. Is that true? None of our medical people are here. But I was not feeling thirsty, but actually I became dehydrated and ended up in A&E, accident emergency, for several hours that evening. It was most uncomfortable. I won't go into all the details. But I thought that's a little bit interesting, that parallel about not having that same sense of thirst as we get older. When I was younger, my mouth would all dry up and I'd be very aware that I'd need to have a drink. Well, I don't have that awareness now, and it's more just a good habit that I have to have a drink bottle and have a swig frequently. And there could be a parallel there in the spiritual realm as well, that maybe we're not always aware how thirsty we could be. And perhaps we take some things for granted. And I am greatly encouraged the way God is thirsty for a relationship with us. And sometimes I know that I don't share that same thirst for his kingdom and that relationship that he has for me. Priorities, perspective, and promise. First photo, please, Curtis. So at the beginning of last month, in November, there was a Kiwi woman, Kushila Stein, who spent 2 days adrift on the coast of Greece, and she only had a few boiled lollies for sustenance, and she had begun to despair before she was found. So she set off. She left her husband on the yacht, which was moored a little bit out from the coast, and she rowed in to do a little bit of shopping. But on the way out back to the boat, there was a little bit of a gust of wind, and she dropped the oar overboard. And I don't know quite what happened with the cell phone, because she had texted her husband earlier saying she was leaving and heading back to the big yacht. But anyway, she ended up going round and round in circles and being blown out some distance away, and it was 37 hours before she was discovered. And the head of the rescue search told The Guardian, she'd gone without fresh water and I think had begun to despair. She was cold and dehydrated, and the crew had given her water, coffee and a croissant when she got on board. Stein had hugged and kissed the crew. I don't know who was more overjoyed, us or her. But I can't begin to fathom her sense of thirst. Nearly 2 days. And having a fresh drink of water would have dominated her mind. Her one priority would have been to find a drink of fresh, cool water to quench her thirst. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words to a people who were dry and in exile. They had felt like giving up, that there was no hope ahead for them. They had forgotten their dreams. They were disillusioned. Their faith had dried up. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. So God has a way of quenching our thirst that is not actually going to cost anything. And so often we can spend money on all sorts of distractions, yet here there's that call to prioritise, seeking after that life-giving water. Maybe when we reflect on the year that's about to end, there's been a sense of disappointment or dryness, that there hasn't been that vibrancy and passion in our faith. So these words are words to us. Come, all who are thirsty, and come to the waters. And if you're getting old like me and don't have that sense of thirst like you used to, we can always pray that God will make us thirsty for him and thirsty for his kingdom. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened." And in the Greek, the Greek language is able to bring about a fuller meaning to that, in that there's a present continuous tense that our English language doesn't convey, and that means the real meaning is to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and I'll add thirst and keep on thirsting for that which will truly satisfy. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Priorities. Can we pray for a thirsty priority for this year ahead? Thirsty for God, thirsty for his kingdom. And it's a little message to me, a reminder to me not to try and quench my thirst with that which won't truly satisfy or bring life. Moving on through chapter 55 of Isaiah, we read how God's perspective is much larger than ours, or of the Israelites in exile that day. And I'm going to wink at Curtis. And here, so Louis and others who don't see too well, here we've got a picture of a maze, and it's sort of like a hedge, and up above the maze is a lookout place where someone can stand and view what's going on and where people are in the maze. And maybe this last year's been a little bit like a maze for some of us. I feel with my work, where we've had 3 restructures too many, that we've been going round in circles, and it is one big circle. I think the next restructure will be back to where we were 4 restructures earlier. But here, this platform here, there's a platform. I like to envisage God being on that platform, and he can look out and see where we've been, the circles we've gone around in, and the best way forward and the best way out. And I think so often I get stuck from my limited viewpoint, from my limited knowledge, my limited understanding, and aspects of my past can tie me down to perhaps wanting to be in one particular little corner and not move on and be more adventurous. So I love that promise where from Jeremiah 29:11, "For my plans for you are for good and not for evil, to bring about a future and a hope." And God has that hope and that future for us, and he is looking down and can see the best way forward and the best way out for that maze. Any other thoughts about the maze? I remember taking an intermediate youth group out to the corn maze out at, it was out near Egmont Village a number of years ago. And I used to make ginger beer. And I think one of my recollections is maybe the ginger beer had been kept a little bit long, because some of those intermediate school age kids got a bit giggly, and I just wondered whether there was something going on with the the ginger beer that we'd brewed up. It did taste a little bit different. And then I took some blind and low vision people to a maze near Marton a few years ago as well. And that was called a scary maze. Has anybody been to a scary maze? So they have all sorts of creatures jumping out. So it's at night as well. So you've got not only the maze and the high rows of corn, but also darkness to sort of add to the lostness. And then you've got these scary-looking people coming out, jumping out and starting up chainsaws and all sorts of things. They'd removed the actual blade, but it was quite... The idea was to make it as frightening and disorientating as possible, and they achieved that. A couple of the women, sorry to be a bit sexist there, they were quite freaked out by that experience. So... Sorry, what was that? Yeah, so that's a picture of a maze there. Yeah. It was called a scary maze. It was down in down near Marton a few years ago. I don't know if they still do it down there. It's just one of the things that some crazy people do for entertainment. So there we are. We're about to come out of the maze of 2019 and find the light and the way forward. I'm excited by that. So priorities, perspective, and promise. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The Israelites in exile needed to be reminded of God's faithfulness and of God's promises. Life as God's chosen people was not turning out as they had expected. And life for us as people chosen by God and loved by God doesn't always turn out like we might have expected. But somehow there are a few more obstacles and challenges along the way. We could have the next and final picture, please. There we go. Promise. So here, the natural world illustrates the Lord's promise. The heart of the image here, the image in the chapter of Isaiah, and the image of this photo, so the photo, Louis, of two guys, maybe from Africa somewhere, looking absolutely delighted as they pump a hand pump of fresh water out of the earth. So the heart of the image here is life. We're talking here about moisture, rain and snow that come down. The earth is not the life giver in this illustration. It's the rain and the snow, moisture from above, that causes the earth to flourish, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. When the earth does not receive this moisture, life shrivels up. What is green turns brown. Seeds do not sprout and grow. And so the natural illustration turns towards its ultimate purpose. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, says the Lord. This is not just a poetic, theological glimpse of the water cycle. It's about God's word that gives life, that does what it is intended, what God intends it to do, that accomplishes, that succeeds in God's purpose. This is God's word that does not return empty. So as we come to the end of 2019 and contemplate the year ahead, can I encourage us to pray to God that God would help us in our priorities, to pray for thirst, that we'd pray for a new thirst for God's kingdom, that we'd grasp more of his perspective for our lives and for the world around us. And may the promise of God's life-giving water overflow from our lives and quench the thirst of those around us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, that you have taken the initiative and come to us in the person of Jesus. We thank you for your initiative in establishing relationships, Lord, and we are aware that so often we don't respond or reciprocate or seek after you. Lord, we pray over this holiday period, a time where life might not be so busy, that you would cause us to reflect and to thirst and to prioritise, Lord, what's really of value. Lord, we thank you for the promise of your love, the promise of your salvation. And we thank you that your word does not return void. We pray that you'd help us to be liberal and generous with sharing your word and your love with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.